am Sir Matt, the Bud Knight.
And I am Sir Ezra, the Watchful. Welcome to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Winter is here. It is time to discuss Season 8, Episode 4.
I see in the doc here, Sir Ezra, you have one question for me up front right now. What is it?
my question is it still worth the wait? This episode,
I'm just
teasing.
Confused, I think, is the word I would use to describe it, because it's going in a direction that I think a lot of us didn't expect. There's definitely been some things that we've seen that have led us to where we're at, but it's just different. It's really different. So
yeah, I think my other question is this the way that it would go in real life? Is this more of a, like, let's say this wasn't a fantasy novel, you know, because often, you know, Gurm kind of, he wants things to be a little bit more, there's an element of magic and fantasy, but he also keeps it real, you know?
Absolutely. I don't know. Absolutely. Yeah, we still don't have the episode title. I'm refreshing Twitter to wait and see until we get that, but right now it's just known as episode 71. Post Battle of Winterfell, and we're gearing right up for the Great War, or the Final War, excuse me. The sacking of King's Landing. Dany wants to take the remaining amount of her army south, which does include some Dothraki, as we found out. I found that to be quite interesting. I was like, are you sure? Because
there's a few.
pretty sure we saw them.
All the lights went out. So
Leroy Jenkins themselves right into the darkness there. And then all those lights went out. So
there's a few hanging around. So this episode starts off in such a, it's an emotional, you know, start to an episode, but.
This episode definitely felt more like Game of Thrones. This season has felt really weird. The first two episodes were really kind of pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really have anybody die other than that Umber kid, and everyone was just kind of coming together and getting some closure to some of those character arcs and ties that they had with one another, and then. Episode 3 was all action, and now we're here in the beginning of Act 2 is the easiest way to describe it. Seems to me the Night King stuff is over, I would say, is probably safe to say.
Yeah, and at the end, I have some, once we start with our major takeaways, I have some big questions about Bran and the Night King, because I am thoroughly confused. But that's, I guess, the point. And that's why I keep saying maybe it's not about the religions and the magic and all that stuff. Right? I mean,
even Davos kind of says that. He says, you fight the war for the Lord of Light, and then he just leaves you.
Yeah, exactly. You did his bidding, and now what? I mean, we're left with no answers on that, and I'm wondering if we're going to get any more in just two episodes. Next episode should be a huge, huge battle. I don't think we'll get anything there. Maybe we get something in the season finale, some resolution, but it's done. There's no more fighting to be had, I think, by that time. So,
yeah,
he's not on the behalf of the gods.
Yeah, so, well, let's do a quick recap of what happened, and then I think we can kind of get into what we thought, some of our big takeaways, and a little bit about what we think it's going to go in going forward. So it starts off, it's the kind of somber, it's the aftermath of the Battle of Winterfell. We see Jorah Mormont, Dany is looking over him. They're playing a softer version of that theme they were playing with the Night King. Really sad. We see Sansa standing over Theon, and then she takes off the little Stark brooch and puts it on his chest, and so he can die. He can die a Stark.
Excuse me, Sir Matt. She was standing over a good man.
She was. All right. Okay. She was standing over a good man. all the dead are about to be burned. Everybody just seems beat to hell. especially Ghost. We even see Ghost standing there. He looks like he lost an ear in the battle. Yeah. And then there's Bran. Bran's just hanging out. Like, hey, guys, what's up? Yeah, he's just like sitting there. He doesn't have a scratch on him. And it's like, you know, this is all kind of for you, right? You are the one that's the Night King human GPS. Nothing to show for it. John gives a really great speech. Says, keep them alive in your memory for the generations to come. That's our responsibility. They were the shields that guarded the realms of men. Which is
that was one of the highlights of the episode. His speech, I was emotional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. And then we see John, Sansa, Sam, Tormund, Dany, Arya, Grey Worm are torchbearers, and they're all burning the pyres of different regions. You see Tormund go over to the wildlings that were there, and Arya burns Beric Dondarrion and so forth. And so we got to slow that, and that was kind of cool. I wrote in my notes here, Night King stuff, I think, is over. I think it's, I think it's over, man. I think that it's,
why? I mean, okay, fine. Then what is Bran even doing?
I don't know what Bran's, I don't know what Bran's purpose is going forward.
I know we're doing you're going over the recap, but real quick, I guess my question is why did we, if I'm Mira Reed, I'm just ticked, right? You know, I what was the point? Just to be bait?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think of that's left to do with Bran is there's something we don't know that's going to happen. That's a total, going to be a total, you know, 180, and Bran reboots stuff is the only thing I can think of. Like, let's say, you know, it looks like they're kind of gearing, and we'll talk about this later. It looks like they're kind of gearing towards maybe John, and like everyone's pushing John and Dany against each other. At least it seems what Varys is doing, and you have Sansa, and that may be the way it ends up going.
Mm-hmm.
Which it may be. That may be the way. That may be how this ends. Isn't a battle between Cersei and Dany. It may end up being a battle between John and Dany. And remember, John's army is still this air quote army. I think it's more about like a group of 12 guys at this point is marching south. So he's not there yet. And so Dany may have taken the capital by the time he shows up.
Uh-huh.
It may end up being John versus Dany. And if that's the case, maybe it's something where everything just gets so bad and so many people die that Bran, looking at when Bran was in his vision, when Theon's just kind of taking
laying waste
everybody one on one, maybe that's not how it goes. Maybe they revert back and something happens where Bran ends up getting killed, or even further, or he reboots something. Other than that, I just don't see a path for Bran to be anything. I mean, they cut him out of an entire season, so what's to say they're not going to cut him out of the last few episodes?
Yeah, I guess so. And one of the things to cut through, some of, like, I think our mood when we started recording this and when we were talking beforehand was, like, the beginning of the episode I thought was so good. And then as we get through it, it's not that it's a bad episode. It's like we're towards the end and we're starting to realize what is likely to happen. And I think it's shocking. And it's not going to go the way we want it to. Some of our favorite characters are dying. It is hard to take. And so it's not that, I mean, it was well shot. It was beautiful again. There was some great lines, some epic moments here in the beginning. When
score,
they're in Winterfell.
Had a really good score.
I love when they're in Winterfell. I loved everything about it. I only have one gripe about one of my favorite characters and what she's up to.
We'll get to that. I'm just kind of questioning a lot of the moments that we have are moments that we've wanted. So we're gonna get to one that didn't go the way I wanted it to go, but did go the way a lot of people thought it would go. And that's a scene that I think is great. It didn't come at a moment that I. It's just it. I, I don't know. I would have pieced things around differently. You still could have had some of the same moments. But let's keep going here. So
okay.
They're having a big feast. This is where we get a lot of what ends up being the main portion of the episode. Gendry is named Lord of Storm's End. He has a conversation with the Hound. He's looking for Arya. I thought that was funny. Yeah. He gets up, walks away, and Dany calls him out, says, "You're Robert Baratheon's son." It's like, oh, shit.
oh, no.
This could be bad. So she names him Lord of Storm's End, and you see I have my notes just like the old days, Oris Baratheon. Targaryens after a big battle. Here you go. You get Storm's End.
Right. It was a bastard to start with. So yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I have that.
Right.
So I have that in there. Sansa and Tyrion, they're giving each other some looks. Tyrion's talking to Dany about how that's a really good idea because now he'll be loyal to you. Sansa's looking from afar. There's been a lot of that. Sansa and Dany do not get along. That is really pushed forward a lot more in this episode.
Yeah.
We have Bran and Tyrion having a conversation, and he's talking about the wheelchair he has, and so they have another kind of a little conversation there.
Right.
We see Tormund having a drinking contest, which I just thought was hilarious.
Oh, that was great. Yeah.
It was great. Jamie, Pod, Tyrion, and Brienne are playing essentially that one truth. It's like never have I ever,
right?
And they're going back and forth, and then it ends up with they come back to it, but you're a virgin. Ooh, it's kind of awkward.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Kind of awkward. We also see Daenerys, Tormund, and everyone is kind of standing around Jon. They're all drawn to him. They're talking about how he won all these battles and he rode a dragon. And Daenerys doesn't really have that. Now she's also lost. She's lost. Think about it. She's lost Viserion so far. She's lost. She lost Khal Drogo when she was young. She lost Barriss and Selmy. She's lost
Jorah.
Lost Jorah Mormont.
Yeah.
That's kind of becoming her story, is that she's in an awkward place for her. She doesn't it's just her. And we'll get to more of that later. you can see it's kind of starting to get to her. There are some pretty funny moments. Some ladies come over and are scoping out Podrick.
Yeah.
Tormund. So Bran gets up, walks away after the whole virgin comment.
Right.
Jamie follows her, and Tormund gets kind of sad. Talking to the Hound, and I was like, no, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Right. And then we have some women come over, and they say, well, I'm not scared of a wildling. And so Tormund's like, well, okay. And so he just walks up with then.
Yeah.
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 Then we see Sansa go over and talk to the Hound. That's a really cool conversation, talking about how she's no longer a little bird. They did talk about, if you had just stayed with me, if you had left with me, none of this would have ever happened. So that is the line I'm holding on to of the still possible Bran reboot.
Yep.
That could happen, because there's been some other threads like that. If we hadn't done this, if we hadn't done this, if we never left, even go back, we should have never left Winterfell, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So there's been a lot of that throughout the seasons. So it is still totally possible that happens. I mean, if Bran never climbs up into that tower, then who knows?
Exactly.
Who knows what would happen? But I have down here, Sansa, it seems like she's making alliances when she's talking to the Hound. She goes over to him.
Okay.
Gestures. And I just, that's just, that to me is just, see, it seemed a little more than, oh, I just want to go talk to the Hound.
Yeah, I guess so. I think, I don't know. Had she talked to him before, really? We hadn't really seen that meetup. So that was an interesting time, I guess, for her to speak with him, but
right.
I'm glad she did.
We have Arya, or we have Gendry. He goes to find Arya. Arya's shooting arrows. They have a conversation. He says, "I'm Lord of Storm's End. I want you to marry me." And Arya basically, she says, "I can make you Lady of Storm's End." She says, "That's not me," but what she's really saying is, "It's not you, it's me."
It's me.
It's what she's really saying.
And I just can't. My heart, actually, that's the part I'm just broken, right? Because I actually thought what was going to happen was that she would say yes and it would be all, you know, just great. They're super pumped for it, but we still have to deal with King's Landing. And then I thought maybe she won't make it through King's Landing. And boy, right. Wouldn't that hurt?
Right.
Because already we see she's headed down to King's Landing. So that's already happening.
Right.
Why not go ahead and... But I get it. It's true to her character. So she's not a lady. She said that from the very beginning.
Yeah, so. I don't think that's... I don't think we'll see Gendry again. I think that was the last... I think that's the last time... There's in this episode, I think it's the last time we see a lot of these characters.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it just felt that way. Then we cut back to Jaime and Brienne in her chamber and what the internet has already dubbed oath sex. You know, we had
have they really? You know what?
A Song of Ice and Fire Reddit and Free Folk Reddit and Game of Thrones Reddit have already dubbed it oath sex. We had boat sex in last season, and so right, it's just right. Like, great. Yeah, Brienne says she's never slept with anyone in before. So we do finally get the Jaime Brienne coming together.
Yeah,
which was cool. So unfortunately we don't get the Tormund Brienne, but
yeah. Can I say too though? Like when they're right before that moment happens, he says, "I've never slept with a knight." You know, and I'm just like, "This is great. This is so great."
So then we get John's in a room. Danny walks in. Are you drunk? No. And he gets up and he stumbles a little bit, which I can tell you right now is going to be an internet meme forever. Right. I'm sure that'll be an internet meme immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I just took in my notes here. Danny has no one else. It feels like she has no one else with her.
I'm starting to feel bad for her, honestly.
Yeah. And she talks about that. And this is where she basically begs. She and John start kissing a little bit, and then John kind of pulls away, and mm-hmm. it's because I don't think it's necessarily that it's the incest angle, which I did think was funny that Varys brought up later.
Yeah.
About the, it's an aunt that's never stopped Targaryens before. I think literally they put that in there because of fans being and so.
It helps explain it because we don't, if you're just a show watcher, you might not know that that's the way the Targaryens roll. So,
right. Even though they've referenced it before, but I thought it was interesting that they did decide to address that. So Dany basically begs John. She says, "I've never begged anyone." She begs John not to tell anyone. And that comes in together. We can live together. And Dany or John says, he's like, "I want to tell my family. We can make this work." And she says, "Well, I've told you how it will work." And she storms out. So she gives John an ultimatum, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And so John's now forced to play sides. We see that when they're making their strategy, which seems like a pretty awful strategy to be honest. They're Sansa is right. Their men are their units are depleted.
Yeah, they're tired.
They're tired. They reference their Dothraki army again, and I was like, "What Dothraki army?" talk about like just need to make allies. I don't need allies.
Mm-hmm.
So John agrees. He 100% sides with Daenerys in the map room there.
Yeah,
and as soon as they're walking out, I like that Arya walks right in front of John, and she's like, "We need a word." It's almost kind of like, you know, she's like putting her hand up and waving mm-hmm. her finger, like,
right.
So it's just the way she, her body language.
Oh, she's a boss. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
So then we're getting this conversation between John, Sansa, Bran, and Arya, the last of the Starks, talking about, we're the last of the Starks. And,
mm-hmm.
John and Bran exchange a look, and Bran just says, "It's your choice." Bran putting it on John.
I'm just tired. I mean, Bran, I don't know. I'm going to save it. We're going to have a big discussion about it, but I'm just, what is going on with Bran? I mean, I get it. Actually, it's that is John's choice, whatever. he maybe saw that he maybe he knows that Danny gave him that ultimatum or what have
right.
you. But hold on, wait a second. It's John's choice now. I mean, they had to inform John, so he tells Sam, you know, we
right.
put the two together. It's just
right. Well, John, well, Bran kept saying John needs to know. John, why does John need to know? Did
uh-huh.
he really
yeah.
ever need to know? So I feel like Bran may have had needed to see something because Sam read it in a book, not really knowing what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And Bloodraven shows Bloodraven or the Three-Eyed Raven for the just show watchers shows Bran very specific visions.
Yeah. Right.
So there is something about this that you're right. You and I both feel like there you've got to have something to do with Bran.
My question is that like, okay, since we know it's our responsibility to inform John and he has a right to know, or I want to tell him because I want to influence events or what have you. I'm guessing it's just because they felt like he had a right to know and that's the right thing to do. But now that Bran is moving things around and he's got
right,
he's seeing the future, the past, whatever. I don't know what to think of Bran anymore. So
yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm confused. There is something going on there. So
it's not that it's bad. It's not that we're saying that. I'm just saying like you know how you start to hate Cersei. You might like her. You might hate her. Or even Jaime in the beginning. You hate Jaime, but then he grows on you by the end. Bran could be the opposite. He could be this character who we like from the get go, and then now that he's the three-eyed raven, I'm not. You know, I don't know
right.
that I like Bran as much anymore.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Well. Yeah. Well. Yeah. And we'll come back to that once we get through the rest of the recap mm-hmm. here. So then we see Tyrion and Jaime having they're just kind of sharing some drinks, talking about climbing mountains and tall person jokes.
Uh huh. Yep.
And Bronn walks in with his crossbow, basically threatens both of them. Tyrion brings back up the line. I once told you, you know, if you ever found somebody who wanted to kill me, I'd double it. And he says, what's double of Riverrun? He offers him Highgarden.
Mm-hmm.
And Bronn basically leaves. So that will come back in. That will come back to play here relatively soon. I would have to imagine there's only two episodes
left.
It's going to have to.
It's going to have to, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we see a scene of Arya and the Hound talking about unfinished business. Everyone's kind of the forces are moving. They're moving out. Arya and the Hound rolling down to King's Landing. Obviously, the Hound's Clegane Bowl. Are we gonna get it? Seems like it. Arya talked about she wants to kill Cersei. Cersei does have green eyes, so we'll see about that.
Yeah, there's so many people that want to kill Cersei, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like, especially after this episode, and there is also now another person, which we'll get to later, who wants to kill the Hound. I just think it's all, the Mountain. So those
right.
two characters have a lot of folks
yes.
gunning for them.
Yes, yes,
which,
they do.
Yeah.
So then we see, as everybody's gearing up, Daenerys goes and she sees Rhaegal and she sees Drogon, and both of them look beat up. Which they are.
Right.
They both got beat up during that battle. So then
mm-hmm.
we see them flying around. Tyrion and Sansa have a conversation, and Tyrion basically is saying, "You need to respect her. She's going to be our queen."
Right.
And they talk a little bit about Jon, and that's where Sansa tells Tyrion, "He's not really a Stark." And so I just have my notes.
Yeah.
This is where the game of telephone begins. The game of
right.
Westeros telephone, the rumor mill starts.
I mean, she swore, too. She swore not
mm-hmm.
to tell. And she did. And so that's sort of what I think Dany knew would happen, because
yes.
she felt
yes.
that vibe from Sansa. She's like, if
right.
you tell
well,
them.
Varys says it later. Varys says,
yeah.
well, eight people know. It's practically information now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the realm will know soon. I mean, essentially, like it's out. So,
yeah. We see John getting ready to roll out, and he has what seems to me like a final conversation with these characters. Tormund, Tormund talks about he's going to take the wildlings back up to the True North. He tells John, "You have the True North in you."
Yeah,
and he
right.
gives Tormund Ghost.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Well, and that's a bad omen. That's what that makes me think right there John is gone. That he didn't keep his direwolf close to him, so that foreshadows his death.
He doesn't even pet him.
No.
Poor little pup.
Been weird the way they've treated Ghost. I don't know. It's almost like Ghost is there, like they forgot to put him in.
I don't.
And then they put him in afterwards.
I'm starting to think we're not. I don't think we're going to get an Emeria now.
Which is just gonna make
that whole thing weird, because I think we were all thinking, oh, Nymeria's gonna show up at the Battle of Winterfell. Didn't happen,
right? And now she's gone south. It's not gonna happen. But it is just it's bizarre to me. I loved that last exchange between them, because Tormund to me now is, remember how we were joking, he may not make it through this battle or that battle?
Yeah.
He is like the leader of the wildlings, and he is taking his people home.
Right.
And I just think that's epic. He's such a just a badass character. I love him so much, and I'm happy for him, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
Tormund takes his people, go back to the True North. Mm-hmm. Sam and Gilly walk up. John gives Gilly a hug. Something's a little up with Gilly, because something was definitely up with Sam. They have a little bit of a conversation. Talks about, well, you know, the nights are getting a little bit longer. There's not really nothing to do with the Citadel. And Gilly says, I think he knows how it works.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And then they talk about how they're gonna name if it's a son, they're gonna name it John. And he jokes and says, well, let's hope it's a girl.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So now there's another kind of, I don't want to say plot hole, but so Craster's baby, all that stuff.
What's up with that?
Kind of nothing. Seems like nothing's kind of going on with that.
And the only reason we say this is because we literally just have what we believe will be one episode to wrap it up. We think the whole next episode is dedicated to another King's Landing battle. It just appears that way, so we could be wrong, but
yeah. And again, the books, as we talked about, the books could go totally different. I don't really care what they say. Oh, it's going to be the same way in the books, or it's going to be if the books aren't written, the books can go an entirely different way.
So he has not written the final book.
Right.
He hasn't even started on it. So
right. So then we get to what I'm calling, it's not really the second half of the episode, but it really kind of is, because it's what sets the stage for the going forward. That was kind of the end of the north part of the story, I'm assuming.
Okay. Yep.
This is where we have everybody on. We have people on boats. We see Missandei and Grey Worm. And I just write in my notes, I say, things seem like it's about to get bad. I don't know. I just have a feeling things are about to get bad. See Tyrion and Varys. Tyrion and Varys, that's where they have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
What should we do? Varys is saying, I think Jon would be better. I'm worried about Daenerys' demeanor, her decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of state of mind. Yeah.
Right. So they're sailing to Dragonstone so they can regroup and get ready to be able to launch their attack, because Dragonstone's King's Landing, not that far.
Mm-hmm.
And we see Daenerys flying, and the next thing you know, Rhaegal is immediately hit with three bolts.
Yeah.
Two in the chest and one through the neck, and he just hits the water, and immediately it's like, oh, hey, we are back to Game of Thrones.
Guys. Shocker. Yeah.
We're back. Yeah. We know this season has felt weird, but it's game on. Game's back on. So,
right.
I mean,
right.
Rhaegal.
I know.
Down. He may not be dead. I would say he is, but Cersei
that
later,
one through the
Cersei,
neck really
Cersei,
hurt.
Yeah, Cersei asks Euron about it specifically, and she says, "You're sure it's dead?" And he's like, "Well, I saw it go down to the ocean myself."
I mean, give me a drowned priest right now, okay?
Right.
So, what's dead may never die.
Yeah. Euron's there. He's got a fleet, and Daenerys is charging her dragon right at them, but they've got tons of bolts, and they all start flying, and Drogon is able to avoid them, and so she's wanting to burn the fleet, but she can't. So
she basically
lets all of her ships just get attacked, because she's not...
It's her dragon,
Let me rephrase. It's not that she's not in a position to do something about it, because I've already seen the internet tearing that scene apart, and... To their credit, there is a lot of legitimacy in their arguments.
What do you mean?
So on Reddit and Twitter right now, people are saying, how is it that Euron was able to take down Rhaegal from behind a rock and then they can't hit Drogon?
Because the dragon's on alert.
It's storytelling is what it is.
It was a surprise attack.
Is the answer. It's a surprise attack, right? But that's just the internet's tearing that part apart.
Yeah, and then if you look, they're on the dragon, they can see over top of the rock, and so they can see the ships. I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Is she's flying? So
right. Well, it seems like he wouldn't have had line of sight until they had gotten out around the rocks to be able to hit the dragons. But Twitter is like tearing it apart right now. I'm just because I have Twitter open right next to me, so I'm just pointing that out. I don't really have a problem with it because it's storytelling. I totally get why they did it. And if you look at where she was, she could have, where their ships were, she could have come flown over to the side, and then she would have been avoided getting
hit. She could have been used the rock to actually,
right, and then come up over the rock and then torch them. But it's storytelling. That's why they chose to do it that way.
I actually think she was exposed because she came past the rock, and then a dragon flying in the same, it's just like a plane that it's a surprise attack. Like they knew where the dragon would be, so you can shoot it. Well, now that the dragon knows where you're at, and you're hitting a moving target that's doing evasive maneuvers,
right?
That's way harder to hit,
right?
So,
yeah. Let's see what else we have here. So I say Dany just leaves them unprotected, so the ships start getting blasted with all of the big bolts.
Yeah.
Did we just see Tyrion die? Because Tyrion is on the boat. It's getting blown to pieces. He jumps off, and then we see a mast come down, and it looks like it's going to hit him. But then we see everybody wash up on the shore of Dragonstone.
Mm-hmm.
I see Oaksay. There's Tyrion. Oh, there's Varys. Oh, there's Grey Worm. Hey, where is Missandei?
Right. Yep.
And we...
I thought she drowned.
Yeah, that's where I was at too, because Grey Worm is looking and we didn't see her. But then it immediately cuts to Cersei, and Cersei is bringing all of these people into the Red Keep, and she's doing it so that Daenerys can't attack. Daenerys would have to burn thousands of people in order to take the Red Keep. She has a conversation with Euron. She's talking about their child, which is obviously a big fat lie.
Right.
And I can't imagine that even if Cersei does win, she's killing Euron Greyjoy. There's no way she would ever marry him.
Well, what I saw, and we're going to get to it, is I think he knows it's a lie after Tyrion's conversation with her.
Oh, yeah.
I think
there'd be no way for Tyrion to know.
Exactly. So I think he's onto that.
Right, because they just hooked up, yeah.
Right. Right.
So then I say, oh no, Missandei is captured, and then because we see Missandei, that's where she is. We see her in that scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As she walks out, you see Missandei there in chains because she, Cersei says, "Breaker of chains," and let me see Missandei in chains. So I say my notes. I just say this can't end well, and I just started feeling real sick to my stomach. I know you and I both are big fans of Missandei. I have said I think she was going to die during the Battle of Winterfell.
Yeah.
So once the battle was over and she was still alive, I kind of got hopeful. I didn't see a scenario in which she would die.
Yeah.
So they got me on that one. We'll get into that here in a second.
Yeah.
Daenerys talks about Daenerys is having conversations with Varys and Tyrion about what we're gonna do because they're saying you cannot do this, you can't burn everyone in the throne because you're fighting against tyranny, and that's what she says. They will understand what I've done once I've done it,
mm-hmm.
And then they talk about, well, now it seems like she's becoming a tyrant, so
yeah, right. Right, they're concerned, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So Dany's kind of going mad queen a little bit. Then we get Varys talking to Tyrion in the throne room on Dragonstone.
Mm-hmm.
and Varys is clearly team Jon.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's always been for the realm. Instead of for the throne, it's hashtag for the realm. Mm-hmm. So,
and I like that they clarified that Tyrion finally called him out and said, what is the realm?
Yeah. Right. I think it's his background. It's his upbringing. It's him being kind of at the mercy of others for his younger years. And now it's sort of like, nah, if I have a chance to make a difference for the people of Flea Bottom or wherever, the small folk, then I'm going to. And so I'm Team Varys right now.
But I'm
super torn because I wanted the Jon and Danny thing to work out.
Yeah. I have in my notes here that I feel like Daenerys at some point might execute Varys. We'd talked about it, and Melisandre had promised that Varys would die. And so I think it would make sense that Daenerys would have him burned. That'd be maybe the only way, if that would be a way that Melisandre would have seen it, would be through the flames.
Yeah, I think he's going to accomplish something before that happens, but I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, because Melisandre had made that prediction, or that prophecy, or whatever, you know, that visions he had of Varys dying in this country.
Yeah.
And so possibly being burned alive. And Tyrion says, what you're talking about is treason.
Yeah, right. Not good. I mean, I was so worried that someone was going to overhear them. I was like, guys, Danny's going to step in here any moment. You should probably keep your voice down or find a different place to talk about this.
Well, and when Varys has the conversation with her, he says, you asked me once if I ever thought you're doing something wrong, to look you in the face and tell you. And here I am. I'm doing that right now. And she still says,
I respect him for that. Yep.
Yeah, I do too. So then we cut back to Winterfell. It's being rebuilt. Sansa is reading a raven, says Daenerys is about to take back the capital, and she just tells Jaime Lannister to his face, I've always wanted to be there when they execute your sister.
Yeah.
I just don't understand the purpose of that, of saying it like that to Jaime. Maybe it's just because she still doesn't trust him, even though Brienne is standing right there, and Brienne and Jaime have already hooked up, and it seems like they still are, because... Mm-hmm. We see Jaime pack up and leave, and he's in Brienne's room, and Brienne's in bed. So Sansa's motivation for doing that seemed a little peculiar, to say it that way, unless she is just saying it because that's the way she wants to say it.
I was going to ask you a question. I think, do you think it's because she was trying to send Jaime away? I mean, you know, she's smart. She knows what love can do to... Right. People, and maybe Brienne's loyalty would waver if Jaime kind of lingers around there.
Yeah,
so it's
possible.
An opportunity to say,
it's possible.
Let's get him out of here. I don't know.
Yeah. So we see Jaime essentially break up with Brienne of Tarth. He rides south. He talks about how he is a bad man, how he's the things he's done for love.
Yeah.
For Cersei.
He uses the word hateful, too. He's just a hateful person, you know, or whatever, just like Cersei. And I'm like, what? You're better than that, man. You're better than that.
Right. And I think it's still fitting within his character, his arc, this whole redemption arc, to still at the end, towards the end, have one teeter back to the old, I guess you could say, dark ways, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a pendulum. You're gonna move back and forward, and you don't redeem yourself immediately. I mean, look how long it took Theon. It took Theon a ton of time to redeem himself.
Yeah, you do some good, and then you make a few mistakes, and then you make make progress. I get you there. Yeah.
So then we see Daenerys and what looks like her 20 Unsullied standing at the gates.
Yeah.
And you have Drogon there in the background. We see Missandei in chains up on the gates. The Mountain is there. Qyburn is there. They have archers, and they have bolts all aimed right at Daenerys and those handful of Unsullied. I just have my notes. This looks like an awful idea. There is no good scenario.
Yeah.
If I were Cersei, I would have just ended it right there. I mean, literally.
I know.
There was nothing. You had all the advantages in the world. Excuse me. There was no reason there's no reason Daenerys should have ever put herself in that position.
No, that was super scary. I mean, they did have a dragon at the end. You saw the dragon back in the back, but I'm like,
they all had their bolts.
I know.
There.
That's what I'm saying. Like, sure, you could maybe avoid, dodge a few, but that dragon's going to be dead. You might burn Cersei. You get one chance at her, but wow. That was, and there are more Unsullied, right? I mean, that wasn't it.
Yeah.
You would think, right? Okay.
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, maybe not. I mean,
I think there's more. I think that was just sort of like a, you know, meeting under the truce banner type of situation, but yeah.
Right. So
it was nerve-wracking.
Then we get, so Tyrion walks forward to meet Qyburn. They have a little bit of a conversation. He ends up walking past, and he has his conversation with Cersei. And I do want to admit something right now. I was wrong.
Okay.
I was wrong about something many episodes ago when we did our breakdown of the trailer, and I had said there was not, I didn't see a single frame that I thought was past episode 3.
Okay.
And the shot of Tyrion as he was walking up to the gate is the same shot from,
oh sure,
from the trailer. So that was the one, yeah, that was the one shot that was post episode 3. And one of, uh-huh, somebody sent us a raven and said that. I said but I kept saying that. I said I just don't think there is before the season started. So, but that definitely was. So,
yeah,
I'll admit my mistakes. So Tyrion has that conversation. He says, "It doesn't mean your baby has to die."
Yeah. Yeah. Well, can I say right before that too? Qyburn, his counter is that we're gonna kill Missandei right now.
Right.
So either you surrender or Missandei's dead now. And I was like, no way. That's his chip. That's the chip he played, the piece he played. That was clutch. That was unreal. I mean, they knew how important she was to the, you know, Dany. So I was blown away by
and
that.
That's and that's all then, on her, though. I mean, that's all on Daenerys. So the Missandei getting captured and Missandei's death is all, it's not Tyrion's fault. That's all on Missandei.
Oh, it's not.
It's not all on Missandei. It's all on Daenerys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But did you think at the end that she was blaming Tyrion a little bit? Is that what you were starting to feel?
Maybe a little bit. We'll see. She may.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was all her decision.
Yeah. And she also was part of it. Is I thought she might blame Tyrion because Tyrion said, no, let's meet here. If they don't meet there, then they can't use that chip against Dany, if that makes sense. They're just going to keep her in chains somewhere or whatever. They could execute her in front of the small folk, but that doesn't really, what does that do? So by Tyrion saying, hey, we have to go out and we have to give this a chance, I think she's done taking his advice a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
So.
So then we get the Cersei says to Missandei, if you have any last words, last word is Dracarys and then the mountain. Ugh.
Jaminy.
Takes, man, just one swing. And the look on Grey Worm's face, that is such a great, such great acting on his face. That immediate just kind of shocked, horror, anger, all at once.
Right.
Was great. And then we see
Anderson. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we see Daenerys having that look. So, and I will say something I was just kind of paying attention to, because Cersei's eyes are so green, you know, and I just that whole blue eyes, green eyes, brown eyes thing.
Oh, sure.
So in the books, obviously Daenerys' eyes should be purple because she's, and they are because she's Valyrian and Targaryen.
Yeah, Targaryen. Yeah.
In the show, they've never really, they didn't do contacts or anything to give her purple eyes. So her eyes are this kind of bluish green.
Oh, okay.
If you go and look at that thing. So I would, if that's the route they ended up going with possibly Arya having to kill Dany or something, just.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, say she doesn't kill Cersei.
That'd be wild.
That would be. So just something I thought of. Just something I thought about as I was looking at it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yep. Wow. So anyways, that was the end of that. It's just so, so emotional. I couldn't believe it. I was just heartbroken. You know, not Missandei. Man. Like, come on. That hits you right at the core. And in the book, she is so pure and such a good.
Right.
She's so good for Dany and helps her just be a better person. It, I don't know. It's fantastic. The Grey Worm stuff is, I mean, look out now. I mean, Grey Worm is his own army. All right. Like, he is going to go off this next episode. Absolutely go off.
Yeah.
So
what do you, so big takeaways, sir, as.
Okay. So some of the things that I really thought were, I'll say it again. The episode was, at the beginning, it was awesome. And I think the episode is great. I actually really enjoyed it. But as I got closer to the end, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to go in this direction. Unless they, in two episodes, can really change the trajectory, then I see where it's kind of going. And it hurts, you know? It actually, mm-hmm. It's not the way I saw it going. It just sort of sucks to see your two big heroes. In the books, you've got John and Danny, and they are, people love them, people lift them up. You know, John wins support against all the odds. Danny is winning support against all the odds. And they finally, you know, in the show, come together, and you would expect that that's going to be, that everyone would then kind of gather around them. But the problem is that Danny was doing that in Essos, and she wasn't doing it in Westeros.
Right.
And John was doing it in Westeros. So there's some of the issue, but I'm just torn because I can see where this is going, and it's bonkers, and I'm a little bit worried about who is going to sit that Iron Throne. It will definitely be bittersweet.
Now every week we're gonna have to review our predictions going forward, because now we only have two episodes left.
Yeah,
and so yeah. I think there's eight. I think the next two episodes are 80 minutes each. So 160 minutes. There's only so much story left to tell.
Yeah, right.
So I think that's why I think that the Night King. I'm just gonna go ahead. I think the Night King arc is 100% done.
It's done. Yeah.
I think it's done. I think that the way they did this episode, the beginning, with the funeral pyres, was the end of that. Okay, now we're on to the next thing, because there's just not enough time. There's just not enough time. Mm-hmm. So then there's so many other little story elements that I just don't know what they're going to do with, because if this entire next, so I think what's going to happen is this entire next episode is the battle of
King's Landing,
King's Landing, mm-hmm. It may not even be the whole episode.
Right. It might not be. Yeah. She could just Dracarys everybody and they're able to kind of march in there, and there's some infighting that goes on, perhaps, or she, Grey Worm, infiltrates in some way through a burned gate, mm-hmm. and once you kill the queen, or, you know, cut the head of the snake, then you've won. So I feel like
it's kind of the same thing with the Night King. All we need to do is take him out, and then it's over.
Yeah.
So kind of the same thing with Cersei. I don't know if we're going to get, we may not even get any more Bran, to be honest.
That's kind of how I'm feeling.
And even Sansa, I don't know what does Sansa have to offer at this point in terms of
mm-hmm.
strategy, battle, big elements. The only thing we've really seen is that she's been fighting against Daenerys. So mm-hmm. if Daenerys, say, takes King's Landing in the next episode, is Sansa marching down the rest of an army?
Maybe, and trying to persuade Jon, who is super loyal to her,
yeah.
that look at what she did. She just destroyed, she just burned all of these people, just like the Mad King, burned them all.
Right.
And Jaime may be a reminder to that as well.
Yeah, even if we start to toss out a lot of the threads that we've been building towards, because now there's just not enough time, so some of those things may never end up coming to play. Quaithe, gone.
No,
At this point, I think you could even be like, oh, Valonqar? Yeah, we kind of forgot about that. So... At this point, the only thread we really have going is we have the main kind of force, which is Danny going to try to take back King's Landing and Jon's parentage. And so I think we're going to get to a point where it's going to be Jon versus Daenerys.
100%. That's exactly what it is. It's you can see that happening between Varys and Tyrion. Their split, the North would support Jon. People think he's mm-hmm. he has a better claim. You've got the Unsullied who would back him. Also, if you cut Cersei down, who's going to pay the Golden Company? Dany will. Who has a dragon left? Dany. They'll back her. So you are going to have a kingdom kind of divided, I think. And that's gonna be tough. You still have River Run. Maybe they could come into play with Sansa. She could get some forces from the Vale or whatever, and show up. And maybe Jon's gonna have to decide. Does he stay with Dany, or does he choose his family? What's he gonna do? I mean, either way, he's gotta betray family, right?
Yeah.
Found out that Dany is his family, or Arya and Sansa and Bran are also mm-hmm. his family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm right there with you. And remember, and Jon doesn't want it. Jon wants nothing to do with it. And Dany knows that. And and Varys and Tyrion talked about it, where he said, well, he didn't want to be king in the North, but people are drawn to him.
Yeah.
The name of the episode has now been posted. It is season 8, episode 4, The Last of the Starks.
What?
Yeah.
The Last of the Starks.
Is the name of the episode.
Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah. All right. Wow. Well, interesting. That's interesting. So I'm kind of thinking, Maglum, one of our patrons, said in one of our most recent Raven's Nest that, like, Dany has been she's been driving for this for so long. Her family was slaughtered and killed and destroyed. She brought up Robert Baratheon at the beginning. Is trying to make alliances and keep the Targaryen family going. She is so alone. She is so alone. And we know that Ghur is a big Targaryen supporter, right? So
absolutely.
If one of them lives, then the Targaryen line can live through that person, correct?
Yeah, well, and Varys brought it up too. Varys said he's a Stark and a Targaryen. So he could unite the North
and
the
man.
South. Yeah, and he's a man.
Yeah, right.
And then they talk about how being a man matters.
Right. Yeah. Which could be kind of a kind of ironic if Dany ends up sitting the Iron Throne. Right now, like, it's looking like Dany is going to win the throne, and then Jon is going to be forced to decide whether she deserves to sit it. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that is so tough. It looks like he may have to either betray her, or I mean, he can't just bow out and say, you know, there's nothing I can do. And he has gone back on his word before, right? I mean, he has made.
Well, he just did this episode. He said he wasn't. Yeah. He promised Dany he wasn't going to tell anyone, and then he told everybody.
Now, did he promise Dany that though? I thought she said that was.
Yeah, please don't tell anyone. And.
But there are situations where, you know, he has given his word, you know, he's been in the Night's Watch, whatever, vows, all that kind of stuff. I just could see him, because he said to her, you are my queen, I bent the knee to you, I'm going to serve you, and he keeps saying that. He may have to take it back at the end, and that's gonna be hard. That's the position that Gurm puts us in quite often,
right? So this is where I'm starting to feel like this is going to go is I think Dany is going to get the throne. And once she gets it, she's going to look around and see what it took her in order to get the throne, is that she had to give up everything in order to take it back.
Yeah.
And then she may end up dying in the process because, you know, maybe once she takes it, she then gets killed by whether it's Arya or somebody else.
Or Jon.
Right, Jon. Just to be honest,
there are spoilers out there that people are doesn't matter. You pick whoever you want. Arya, Sansa, Jon.
Everybody, yeah. That just seems like that. I mean, even with those aside, that just seems like what it's gearing toward, which is so interesting because I think for so long we've always felt like, oh, it's A Song of Ice and Fire, it's going to be Jon and Dany coming together. And it's going to be this them versus Cersei, and now that's not the case.
Right, Right. And I feel like if it's a Song of Ice and Fire, the one who lives is John. I mean, he is both ice and fire, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I feel like now I can you can almost sort of say Danny will die in the end. And this is crazy. I mean, I don't like saying this, but I feel like that's where we're heading. That's why people are a little bit shook, I think, because right. You start to kind of see what's happening between our characters. Nothing's been said outright, but Varys is going to fight for the realm. Jon is going to stick to his queen. Tyrion's going to stick to his queen. Sansa is not. You can already tell she's trying to divide and bring people. I mean, she swore she would not tell Jon's secret, and then she finds out, no, this could work to the North's advantage and to our family's advantage. I will tell, and I'm going to tell Tyrion because I know what's going to happen with that information.
Right.
So yeah, it's also hard because you see the Stark family fighting inside of itself. So that's tough. And the Targaryen family fighting in amongst themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that is what's making it hard. And in the end, all I hope is that Grey Worm has an epic moment and is able to, I hope he takes the mountain out and Cersei at this point. He deserves it. Missandei's just,
so do you
too good.
So what do you think, Sir Ezra? Because there's a lot of people that were very critical of the Battle of Winterfell, and there's a lot of people really critical right now. Do you feel like it's becoming kind of a letdown?
So I asked you the question before we started: is this how it's going to go in the books? And you were like, no, you felt like not.
Yeah, the more
can't
be. The more I see, the more I think no. And a lot of people are criticizing specifically Dan and Dave, the show writers. And you know, I mean, if it ends and it ends in some really dumb way and it's bad, then yeah, we'll criticize it. I'll still hold out to see what happens. But yeah, the closer we get, it seems like once they started running, and even now that I'm thinking about it in a way and trying to be more critical, you and I have criticized season 7 with a lot of the Littlefinger stuff. Just felt like they just needed something to do, and his death never really felt epic, or at that point it just felt like Littlefinger was just, he was just there. But so early on, he's this scheming character. He's so dangerous. And then by the time they kill him, he's just like, yeah, okay, I kind of like forgot about him.
Yeah, it's tough because, as you said, or we were talking earlier, those arcs as they go, it's hard to always have epic moments, because then you have to shift some of those to Arya and Sansa. And that was a little awkward when they first got back together. Now they're besties, and that's great. Now they're splitting up again, and some of the Starks are going south, and Sansa reminds us that's not a good idea. So that's there are elements that I really like that are good and that are neat. I don't know that I can criticize. I want to know what George said to them, because if he said John betrays Danny in the end, then this is how you get us there. This is exactly how you would get us to that end that George gave to them. And so it may go about a different way in the books, but I feel like at the core of it, if George said she'll win the throne, but she won't be worthy of it, and Jon is going to have to somehow remove her from the throne, then the writers say, okay, we'll get us there.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I can criticize them until I know what happens in the story.
In 20 years from now,
you don't know who to really.
Right,
because they're making
an
adaptation of his works.
Yeah, it's just, you know? Yeah, this season, to me, I will say, some of it feels a little more like shock value. Some of these characters, Tormund's arc, if that is totally how it ends, which I think it is, that's a good ending. Jorah's ending, dying there, was Theon's. Those were well scripted, put together arcs. Missandei's end. Now I still feel like it's actually a pretty solid ending for her character.
Mm-hmm.
because then she becomes she was always at Daenerys' side. She always defended her. She died for Daenerys. And then and it's just more and more things happen to Daenerys that cause her to you sacrificed everything to get the throne.
Mm-hmm. Was it worth it?
Yeah. So I feel like that's fine, but there's so many things I feel like I personally would have just done differently. I don't know. Maybe it's just me with my 2020 hindsight's 2020 kind of lens. What now that I've seen the episode and I can go back and nitpick it. I'm not saying I'm disappointed or let down. I'm just ready to see more, but
I think the more
we realize there's just so many loose ends they're just not gonna tie up.
Right. Yeah. It's gonna really end right at like someone sitting the throne and we're having a council. And then either Dany sits it and end credits and she wins, or somebody takes her out in some way and then it's over. We don't know. We don't get to see Tormund riding away. We have no idea what's going to happen in the north. We don't get to see Winterfell rebuilt. Gendry is just Lord of Storm's End, and that's cool. And we know it's going to happen. So yeah, there's a lot of things that we're not gonna mm-hmm. get, and we may not get those in the book either. When I think about just having two books left, and to think we have to have all, I've said this mm-hmm. for years. I am shocked when you think about the number of characters and threads in the books. I just can't. I don't see how it's all going to wrap up in two novels.
Well, I'm fine with killing a bunch of characters in one big moment. So you think when Cersei blew up the Sept of Baelor, she ended a Kevin Lannister story arc. Mm-hmm. She ended the High Sparrow story arc. She ended the Tyrell story arc all in one. Lancel Lannister. She ended all of that stuff, and then subsequently, Tommen's arc.
Sure.
All at once. Yeah. All at once, you did that.
Yeah.
So in the books, I think you could end a ton of people's arcs at once in the Battle of Winterfell.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing. And so I think it's just that they didn't kill anyone in episodes one or two, and then we only lost a few people in episode three, and now it just seems like there's just not a lot of time for these characters to get down to King's Landing. Like Brienne's story arc.
Mm-hmm.
What is she just going to race down to King's Landing to try and join this last final battle? Because at this point, if she's just staying up in Winterfell, then Brienne's story arc is
over.
She's
a sworn sword to House Stark.
She's a sworn sword to House Stark. She went through all of this stuff, and then so herself as a character wasn't really important because her character arc was just to be a driving force for Jaime to show him. But you kind of portrayed her as this big, important character, and now she's just a knight, and she was betrayed by Jaime. I don't even think we may not see her again.
Yeah,
so
we may not.
It just feels, even Sam, we may not see Sam again. Just that would be
We have so many points of views in the books, but they can't all be our main protagonist, and so. It is tough because at some point they do serve a purpose, and she was never a lord or a lady necessarily in her mind.
Right.
So I don't know. It's tough. It's hard to see some of their lines end. And
yeah, see, I would have been much more satisfied. And maybe it's just because Game of Thrones has taught us to be a very specific way with characters just dying. And that's the end of their arc. Because I would have been more satisfied had a lot more characters died during the battle. If Brienne gets knighted and then she dies during the Battle of Winterfell, saving Jaime.
I that's why I said in the beginning, I think that, George, his thing in writing this is that like in reality, some of those characters are going to live, some are going to die. Not everyone's going to die, and not everyone's going to live.
Right.
And so it's sort of this, even though he has these elements of magic and high fantasy in there, it's very much just kind of, he tries to keep it real. And that's what's hard about it, because you want to see epic endings. You want to see all these characters have a poetic ending, and they're just not going to. And that they are when they said bittersweet, we're getting it. I mean, because we're getting cool things. Tormund riding off to the north like a hero, that's awesome, as you said. And Jorah's ending, great. Leon, I mean, think of all the great endings we have had. So we have characters left, and we're saying Jaime's going to have an epic ending in King's Landing.
Seems like it, yeah.
Somewhere.
Daenerys, somewhere. Jon, right.
Jon, Tyrion. I mean, who is going to be left afterwards? Sam, Gilly, Tormund, Sansa.
Bran. Bran's just sitting there hanging out.
Bran. Yeah, so it seems like everyone else that's in the King's Landing pot, how many of them are going to live? Not very many.
Yeah.
So we are going to have people die and lines end. It's just not going the way I guess we thought it was going to go. Cersei may win, actually.
See, I'd be fine if Cersei won. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, it's just, it's also weird too that like we've learned through Game of Thrones to say things like, you know, that we're disappointed that more characters didn't die. That's a crazy thing to say. It's like,
Well,
they lived. We should be happy, but no. You know, it's what it's taught us, because that's what it's been. And we've always known, okay, there's more seasons to come. So we can speculate and think. Now we're like, no, this is the end. And some will live, and they'll write off, and their story will continue for years and years and years. There'll be like we have the late Lord Frey, right? He was around for all these different years, was maybe a big player back in his early years, even came back later in his old life and was a big player of the Game of Thrones. So as the wheel continues to turn, it's like Sansa could be that older lady of Winterfell who tells that story years down the line. You have to have some of those pieces still there. So I feel like some of those, as you said, the Highgarden up for grabs. River Run, you know, is still under Edmure Tully right now, so that's a house that stays. House Lannister could be gone. It could be in shambles, and so someone may take Casterly Rock. That may switch at the end. So we'll see some of the great houses be around, like those names linger, and then we'll see some that we're gonna have new people step up and start their house or start their rule that region. It's, I don't know, it is getting very bittersweet in our mouth, because we've got like just this big battle, and we can kind of see where it's gonna go. And
it's really tough. All right. Well, join us on Friday when we do Follow Up Friday. We will be talking season 8, episode 5, I guess, Battle of King's Landing. Predictions. Send us your ravens at btkcast@gmail.com. We will read those live on the air. Sir Ezra and I will go through them and pick as many as we can and read your guys, your ravens, your thoughts, your theories out loud. Be sure to check out the episode we just did, yesterday, which is Raven's Nest, which is similar to Follow Up Friday, except you actually get to come on the show and participate with us live for everybody to hear. That was a ton of fun. We'll be doing another one of those at the end of the season, so we can all kind of talk about Game of Thrones and the season series finale.
What's gonna happen?
Out of the whole series, we still have a prequel coming and things like that. So, stay tuned for all of that. I want to give a shout out to our bannermen. These are some of our patrons. We have Lord Jason of House Ross, Lady Amanda of House Richardson, Lord Adam, the Young Bull of House Parker, Sir Peter of House Whittingham, the Ghost of Harrenhal, A Bannerman Has No Name, Lord Thanos of House Titan, Lord Nelson of the Long Isle, the Mother of Cats, Sir Joshua of House Ross, Lady Kendall of House Taylor, Sir Ryan of House Lothstrom, Lord Hunter, the Foulmouth, Captain of the Guard, Sir Dustin, the Rooster Knight of House Walls, Captain of the Guard, Sir Ron of House Golson, Captain of the Guard. Also want to give a special shout out to Lady Hannah Flynn. She supported us on Ko-fi. Coffee.
Yeah.
We're still figuring that out. It's another platform. It's similar to Patreon, but it doesn't require a monthly subscription. So anyone who supports us on there, we'll make sure to give them a shout out as well. Definitely a huge, huge help.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, and don't forget too, we're gonna have some musings over on Patreon. I think we always do this initial reaction, so it takes Sir Matt and I a couple days to kind of process, and then we'll be texting each other, and we get more hyped as the week goes because we think of different ways that, it could go, even though we're kind of like, oh, there's just two episodes left. So we'll do some musings over on Patreon / so patreon.com/ bend the knee. Check that out, where you get on Raven's Nest, check out the musings and the additional podcasts that are there. So should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. We want to thank you for playing the Game of Thrones. In our next episode, we will be discussing season 8, episode 5, predictions and fan theories on Follow Up Friday.
Yeah. If you like our podcast, don't forget to subscribe, like us, write a review, leave a comment, or send us a raven at btkcast@gmail.com.
We'll see you in a week. And remember, Grey Worm is pissed. The final war is here.